Today on Wings, women walk North American rivers for ceremonial healing.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings. There's
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
This documentary first aired on WPKN Radio in Bridgeport, Connecticut, USA.
Welcome to The Forest and the Trees, Global and Local Perspectives on the Environment, with your host, Melinda Tuhus. This month, I'm excited to share with you the wisdom of an Indigenous elder, a woman who was a water protector and spent time trying to stop the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota, as well as having done sacred water walks across the country. Stay tuned. From mid-May to mid-June of 2018, an Indigenous woman completed her eighth Water is Life walk, from the source of the Housatonic River in western Massachusetts to the mouth in Stratford, Connecticut, at Long Island Sound. Carol Buber Blodgett, who goes by the Lakota name that translates to Spirit Hawk, traces her matriarchal lineage through the Penobscot Nation and belongs to the defined out-of-existence band of the Penobscot people. She is an adopted Lakota from the Sikanju band and follows the Lakota Sundance way of life. I participated in the walk for 3 days through northwest Connecticut, where the Housatonic flows through the beautiful Berkshire Hills. Signs were posted everywhere not to eat the fish or even step in the water due to contamination by PCBs dumped into the water decades ago by General Electric from its plant in Pittsfield near the source of the river. Buber Blodgett, who was addressed as Grandmother Carol by other participants, stopped at many places along the river, such as dams, which have heavily damaged the riverine ecosystem, to say prayers and feed the river with handfuls of wild rice, cornmeal, cranberries, and tobacco, each signifying a staple of Indigenous culture with specific healing properties. The river often ran right next to busy State Route 7.
When I'm singing, if you would drop tobacco, but drop it on the land, not in the water that's chemically treated. Okay. So I don't want the fish to eat it.
There's an eagle watching.
Oh, good eye.
Oh, can you see him? See the white head right on that pine tree? Right across, almost a little above the rock.
Look at it, gorgeous.
Yeah.
There's an eagle. If you can zoom in on that eagle, that would be great.
Okay.
No pictures of me during ceremony. A lot of rocks in there. I'd rather sink in the mud than slip on a rock.
One of the participants was octogenarian Rena Loeb, who spent many weeks as a water protector on the Cannonball River at a camp in North Dakota, fighting the Dakota Access Pipeline with the Standing Rock Sioux.
Part of protecting the water is prayer and ceremony. You know, and it's been an amazing experience. I had said when we started, I do this for all the waters, but I think I'll never not love another river the way I love the Cannonball. And here it is, the Housatonic is my heart now too. Just rivers. It's such an amazing consciousness that they are.
Pam Arifian is director of the nearby Northeast Regional Environmental Justice Center, operated by the Connecticut Conference of the United Church of Christ.
I am here in part for my own, to be part of the ceremony for my own benefit, but mostly for the benefit of the water. And to help grow community around this watershed so that we can be connected again to this source of life and be part of the healing. I joined in Pittsfield two Saturdays ago and walked that stretch, and then I joined again this past Saturday in Sheffield. I walked that 8-mile stretch, and I walked the 8-mile stretch yesterday when we entered into Connecticut, and I'm walking this 8-mile stretch today, and I'll be walking tomorrow, and I'll be popping in and out as I'm able until the closing ceremony on June 13th down near the terminus with the Sound. It's such an honor to be here and support Grandmother Carol and to be part of the ceremonies. And to really, I find myself now every time I drive over waterways, I say seeking permission to cross because this walk has helped me be more aware of all the water that is moving around me and that it needs our respect and honor. So I'm really grateful to be part of this. And so grateful that Spirit guided Grandmother Carol to this watershed, because God knows it needs the healing.
One morning I interviewed Grandmother Carol as we sat beneath a majestic river oak above the burbling Housatonic.
Yes, this is our 8th annual Waters Life Walk. And so sometimes it's a river, sometimes it's just a source. In 2011, it was time to make a decision whether or not to commit to another 4 years of Sundance. And I was 60 and having trouble with my blood sugar dropping very low on the third day of no food, no water. And my asthma and blood sugar would give me a problem on day 3 and day 4. And so they were having to doctor me up, get me back on my feet, back in the dance. And so I needed to decide, when I went on my vision quest, if I was going to cut down the number of days or if I was going to somehow fulfill the obligations to the bundle that I carry for the seventh generation or for the next seven generations to come. And so, long story short, on that vision quest, a little white earwig came and took me to the water. So 2011, I began my Waters Life Walks. I came off the hill and did my first Waters Life Walk from Tiswak to Bus Jetwood, or from what they now call Mount Rainier to Capitol Lake in Olympia, Washington, for the Deschutes River. So that's how I was taken to the water. And 2012, I came cross country, moving back to be with my grandchildren, and decided that since I was driving cross country and driving past all these sacred sites and wasn't going to just drive by, that I would see how many I could find that had water. And so I did 28 sacred sites and the waters that support that sacred site. And so in that way, I blessed our waters coast to coast, bringing the East Coast all the way to the West Coast, and then doing a unity ceremony or a marrying of the water ceremony with waters from all of those sites, East Coast to West Coast, and everything in between. And so I ended with Mount Katahdin to Old Town, Maine, Indian Island, which is the Penobscot Reservation.
So how did you get drawn to the Housatonic River, which is in western Massachusetts and Connecticut, flows into Long Island Sound, which is where we're sitting right now in above the river?
After coming back from Standing Rock, where I supported the youth, that seventh generation, that International Youth Council that started in Standing Rock and ran to D.C. and didn't get the results that they wanted and decided to continue to grow their camp. And watching with great honor and respect how they held that prayer and refused to allow it to become a fight, that it would always be a prayer for our water, you know, to stand up in prayer, to stand up in ceremony, not to get out of the way, because you said get out of the way, but to just stand in prayer. And it was a very powerful, uplifting thing, for me, extremely emotional, because when I was taken to the water, the bundle that I carry is for that seventh generation, or for the next seven generations. When the bundle was passed to me, I was told the seventh generation of prophecy is on this planet right now. And part of the responsibility that goes with the bundle is to pray for that seventh generation to have the strength to stand when their time comes.
That was Carol Buber Blodgett, who conducted her eighth water walk, this one along the Housatonic River in Massachusetts and Connecticut. I walked along for 3 days in the hills of northwestern Connecticut, where the river is stunningly beautiful, but the beauty hides a history of horrific contamination. Alyssa knows all about that. She grew up here, and her family dates back generations. Her two small children accompanied her on the walk, and her intention was to walk the entire way.
Well, I've a long history with the Housatonic, so I'm so excited that I know she does a different walk every year, so this is like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so we're joining for the whole thing to the Save the Sound. My grandma grew up here, and I used to canoe the river every year since I was 4. Till 2009, it was like the last year I canoed this river from exactly where I started walking with these amazing people. We're healing the water that is dirty from the PCBs in the Housatonic River, and it killed two of my uncles. They ate too much of the fish in the river, and they're dead. They're both stomach cancer. My dad's a, you know, PhD pharmacologist, so he could scientifically tell you what those cancers are and that they're from stomach cancers, that you get it from eating dirty fish. So it's like, I want to be living off the land, seeing salmon up this river, and there's dams everywhere. And I just moved out of Maine, and they're saving their salmon and their migratory fish. So I'm just trying to get educated. So I'm learning to cleanse the water is what's saving me from being fearful and scared, because it shows we can do something. And then I can drink my water without fear on the Bald Mountain, even though I'm right next to polluted Housatonic. I just tell people to be careful if they do move to the river. Test your water, test your soil. We should probably start water quality labs in every town if people were like, once they get more involved in fish hatcheries.
Every day, Grandmother Carol determined where to enter the water.
So why is this the spot?
Because I'm feeling with the mud, that's why I have the staff to see how deep the mud is, because the mud can be almost like quicksand sometimes. And then you stand there, and by the time you're done with your ceremony, you're up to your knees in the mud, and then it's really hard to get out. So I try to test the mud first to see if it's solid. I mean, it's going to be squishy, it's going to come between your toes, but how squishy is it? And, you know, how much pressure do I need to put on the staff to see how deep I'm gonna sink. And but I want to get at least ankle deep if I can in the water to do the blessing.
And this looks like a good spot.
This looks like a good spot.
I could not record while Buber Blodgett was in ceremony, but I talked to her at other times about her water walks, as well as with several women who accompanied her at least part of the way.
On Wings, you're listening to a documentary about river walkers produced by Melinda Tuhus for her community radio series, The Forest and the Trees.
Another woman who walked with me was Catherine Freigang, who lives nearby and has had other spiritual experiences connected to water.
This is your first day here on the walk, is that right?
That's correct.
So why did you decide to come?
I have been involved in ecological awareness for a really long time, and recently, after we've been working on things like local farming and renewable energy, the issue of preserving our water has come to the surface as the most important thing to abide by. And so I've been involved in a number of ceremonies, frankly, from different cultures that involve purifying water and blessing water and prayers for water. I have done two other ceremonies that are similar to this. So this particular event has got some song to it. I think sound is an important part to this. A lot of song in it. And I'm just looking at the components of this ritual to kind of understand how to do this well. Because we need it so much. With all the pipelines that are threatening our waters and the fracking and the commoditization of water, there's a lot of evil underfoot. So anyway, that's what I'm up to.
The women on the walk marveled that Grandmother Carol, who was in her late 60s and has some serious health problems, could undertake these walks, which until very recently she often did solo, but she responded this way.
I have never felt more guided and directed and protected than when I'm on these walks, ever, wow. ever. And 2012, I came cross country and did 28 sacred sites as I came cross country. So that was when I really felt the guidance and direction, because seven of the 28 sites that I chose were changed, and spirit would just get me lost. And I was like, I'm seriously, the first time I was driving from Washington down to a lake in Oregon, I was going to do Craters of the Lake, and then I was going to do this other lake that was having trouble with their fish. And I'm on the highway. I'm getting off the exit. I know I'm getting off. I'm not a GPS person. I've got my map, and I'm getting off that exit. And all of a sudden, I'm in the middle of absolutely nowhere on a dirt road in the middle of forest. And I have no idea how I got there. It's like, did you beam me up, Scotty? I still have no idea how I got lost. And so I got out and I dropped tobacco and I said, I know this is your prayer and I'm just doing the legwork, but where am I and what do you want me to do? And it wasn't maybe a quarter of a mile down the road before the dirt road took a turn. And when I came around the corner, here's a big wooden sign, Headwaters of the Wood River, the main tributary to the lake that I was worried about. And so it was just spirit saying, don't worry about the lake, the problem's here. And so I called my friends that were supposed to be meeting me at the lake and I said, I'm at the headwaters of the Wood River. This is where we need to be. Come camp with me. I'm setting up site now. And they're, how do you get there? And I said, I have no idea. You're going to have to look on a map because I don't know how I got here. And but always guided. And seven of those sites changed. Seven of those 28 have since come under, either was currently having issues or have come under severe damage from fracking and pipelines and pipeline leaks. Already existing pipeline leaks, arsenic contamination, radiation contamination from the Black Hills, all of that since that change in 2012. And so had I not been led there, my belief is that he led me there to strengthen that river before it got contaminated. That's my belief. And so it doesn't scare me. Walking with the bear, it's okay. I think people don't understand that these plants and these animals feel that energy that you're putting out much stronger than we humans do, because we're so disconnected. They still remember their original instructions of how to live in harmony with the mother, and where the human beings are the only ones who've forgotten, and so we just have to remember. But I need to step away with you, right? And find our spot for tonight.
Boober Blodgett depended on the local knowledge not only of the women who accompanied her, but also of a man who grew up here and still lives near the river. He did a lot of the shuttling back and forth, carrying supplies as well as anyone in need of a ride. On the last morning of my time on the walk, I asked Grandmother Carol to share more of her story and her philosophy.
The shortest river I've done was the Quinebaug River. And that's the watershed that my grandchildren and I live in.
And that's in what state?
Connecticut and Massachusetts. And so it's a 72-mile river with 18 dams. And dams are very destructive to our waterways because they obstruct the flow, the natural flow of water. The cleansing process of the water, the way the water cycle works is everything flows to the ocean. Deep within the ocean are places where that water is sucked down under and kept underground for years and years and years before it comes up through our aquifer, up through our artesian wells and our springs. Kind of like the blowhole of a whale. You know, the whale sucks the water in and filters out what it wants and then blows out the rest through its blowhole. And so that's kind of what springs and artesian wells do. So we can't have healthy rivers, and so to kind of make that a little bit easier to understand, if the doctor told you you had 18 clots in your left leg, but don't worry, they've been there a long time, I don't think there's many people who would be very excited about the fact that they had 18 clots in their leg.
And it's the same thing. These rivers are the blood veins of Mother Earth. And so we need to see her as a living being, and that those waters flow through her the same way our blood flows through us. And so she can't be healthy if we continue to obstruct the flow of her waters. And then the longest I did was the Cheyenne River, probably physically the most difficult walk, from Thunder Basin Grasslands in Wyoming halfway across South Dakota. And absolutely beautiful, hot. I like it hot, so that wasn't an issue. But challenging, physically challenging because of the terrain.
In the few days that I've spent with you, I would say the one lesson that I've gotten loud and clear is unity. And you've talked about this in different ways a lot of times. And I'd like you to just talk about, you know, what you see as some of the problems and what you see as maybe the solution.
First and foremost, over the 7 years of me walking the water, it has become very clear to me that the real problem with our water is not all the companies dumping things in the river. It's not all the runoff from the agricultural departments. It's not the sewer treatment plants right along the side of the river that when you get a heavy rainfall, the ponds will fill up and it just spills into the water. All of those things contribute, but the real problem is our lack of connection to the water. We have forgotten that water is our source of life. We see it only as a resource now to be bought and sold. And we think nothing of going in and buying a bottle of water any more than we would think to go and buy a bottle of milk. Water is our source of life. Without it, we can't live. And we need to pick up that understanding that it's our source again. When we do that, water is trying to teach us so many lessons, but the number one lesson that it's trying to teach us is to come together. If you go to a confluence and you see the two rivers coming together, mingling together, they're not fighting over, this is my territory, that's your territory. They just come together and they just start to meld together right along the edge and just blend together. There's no, get over, this is my space, get over, this is my space, which is what we see in our everyday life here. If I take a glass of water and I pour a few drops of my glass of water into your glass of water, there's no way that you can tell me what was your water and I can tell you what was my water. And water just comes together, and it comes together and it's instantly one. It moves and flows as one. That's what we as a human family need to learn to do. We need to erase the lines that we use to separate ourselves. It doesn't matter. This is all faiths, all people, one prayer for our water. It doesn't matter what religion you are or that you're no religion. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, what sex you are, what color you are. Trees are trees. They come in many different sizes and shapes. End of the day, a tree is a tree. End of the day, we're all a human family. We're all human beings. That's it. We need to come back as one human family and move and flow as one human family. And then we can get the rhythm of the earth back where she needs to be and live in harmony with her. And until we do begin to live in harmony with her, we're just going to suffer more and more from these storms and the increased storms and the severity of these storms, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes. We have to find the balance again.
I wanted to ask you a question about cultural appropriation.
Well, I don't believe that our one of the things that it says right on our website is participating in ceremony doesn't give you the right to perform that ceremony or you know, go and teach other people to do it. It's my understanding from the pipe that I carry when that Chinupa was passed to me, there are seven sacred rites of the pipe. one of the seven sacred rites of the pipe is the honka ceremony, the making of a relative. And so I find it interesting that they don't think you can have an adopted Lakota, because that's one of the seven sacred rites of the Chinupa. And the white buffalo calf pipe, when that was brought to us, she brought those seven sacred ceremonies that go with that pipe. And I think one of my greatest honors when I did the Cheyenne River was that Chief Orville Looking Horse allowed me at the end of the dance to come on his Sundance land and camp. And his brother, Ivan Looking Horse, poured our closing ceremony because Orville Looking Horse was traveling at the time. Adoption in this world is very different from adoption in another world. And you're going to see a lot of colonized thinking, even within people that are living on a reservation, because that's one of the hardest things that we fight right now, is to decolonize our way of thinking, to get ourselves out of the, you don't have a card because you don't have enough blood. That was never our way. And the laws that were designed to create that blood quantum rule were designed to define us out of existence. And why do we have to buy into their decision to make that true? But decolonizing my thinking was probably the hardest part of my journey, was to get out of that colonized way of thinking and get into the real flow of the world and the energy and the traditional way, the real traditional ways of being. Because every tribe always took others in and made them their own. It was just a way of being.
I know we have to end so that we can get started on the walk. Is there any other thought that you want to share that we didn't talk about already?
Not that I can think of. Just honor your water. and water is life, but it's even more than that. We are the water. And the water is us. It birthed us. And so honor that source from where you came. And just love it. It loves you. It's gonna give and give and give. It even gives to the ones who pollute it the most. It never holds back. It's love. And so give it the love that it gives you.
That was Carol Buber Blodgett, an Indigenous woman of the Penobscot Nation in Maine, who is an adopted Lakota and followed the Sundance way of life for many years. She is now a water protector, and this year did her 8th Water is Life walk, this time along the Housatonic River, from its source in western Massachusetts to its mouth at Long Island Sound on the Connecticut shoreline. You've been listening to The Forest and the Trees, Global and Local Perspectives on the Environment, with your host, Melinda Tuhus.
Thank you, Melinda Tuhus, for sharing your program with WINGS. To hear WINGS programs again, email wings@wings.org or visit our website, wingsradio.org. You can also follow our newsfeed at facebook.com/wingsradio. Thanks to all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The WINGS sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.